This is Totally Cool Tech, the show that brings you the hottest in cool technology. No matter if it's old school or new school, high tech or low tech, it's all still cool tech. This is Totally Cool Tech Podcast Edition number 500, Wowzers, for Friday, October 22nd, 2010. I am Norbert Davis, your host on this episode of Totally Cool Tech. It's the 500th show, that's right. And I have a visit with Paul R.J. Muller of the Caffeination Podcast. I've been on vacation for almost 2 weeks now, a little over a week, I should say, week and a half. And I finally got to meet my buddy, Paul R.J. Muller of the Caffeination Podcast. And he gave me a cool tour of Temple University. So we go ahead and we recorded a little bit, and you get to hear that whole interview. So we'll get to that a little bit later on here, but the Totally Cool Tech is a proud member of the techpodcasts.com network. If it's tech, it's here, where you will find shows that are family-friendly and work-safe. We're also part of the Blueberry.com podcast community, where podcasters and listeners all come together. That is Blueberry, without the E's. So please go check out both of these sites for other great podcasts. Okay, this is the 500th show. Finally, it's been 3 years in the making. This is just one day after the third anniversary of the Totally Cool Tech Podcast. Now, we have the contest going on, and you need to pay attention, because there are some stipulations on the whole giveaway thing that we're doing. You must be a resident of the U.S. or Canada, or, well, at least have a shipping address somewhere within the U.S. or Canada. Something either U.S. or Canada, because I can't really, you know, afford to ship it outside of North America. Okay. So, that being said, I have a few prizes lined up and possibly some more in the works. Like I said, I've been trying to work on this. Depends on what's going on, so I can't really say how many winners there will be. But here's what you got to do to win. Listen to this podcast, because I'm not posting these instructions. You're going to have to listen to them to figure out what to do. So, number one, go to the website, TCT website, okay? If you don't know what that URL is, then listen to the show. I mentioned it somewhere in here anyway, right? Typically you do. All right, pay attention. Send in an email with the subject, show 500, and answer these two questions. What is the number on the TCT logo? Who did I talk with on show 500? That should be really, really easy. Now there's a bonus question. What is the hidden meaning of the logo and the number? If you can figure it out, tell me what it is. Well, we'll see what we can do for you, all right? Okay, all entries must be sent in before October 26, 2010, Pacific time. Daylight or standard, I can't remember when they're going to change things back. But that means after 11:59:59 p.m. Pacific on October 25th, you have 1 second to send that puppy in, all right? All emails that are received with a timestamp that it comes after that, okay, comes after the 25th, which, so if it's dated the 26th, it's dead. You're out. You don't get a chance to get it. Got to be in on or before the 25th is over. Okay, good luck. Oh, yeah, some of the things I can tell you about. We have a Bluetooth hands-free car kit. It's a visor mount type. That's pretty cool. Maxi Vista application for the iPad turns your iPad into a monitor for your PC. This is pretty slick. It works off of wireless works off your wireless network. Okay. Let's see. Yeah, 4 gigabyte USB memory stick, a USB to SATA IDE APTI device with one touch backup, and it works for both Mac and Windows. We also have a super bright LED flashlight that is waterproof to a certain level and uses 3 AAA batteries, which are not included. You'll have to provide those yourself. This show is no longer sponsored by anybody but myself, and I am powered by Mountain Dew Code Red. On this episode of the Totally Cool Tech, we have an interview with Mr. Paul R.J. Muller of the Caffeination Podcast. I was lucky enough to be able to come out to the East Coast and visit my wife's family, and as a side bonus, I got to go ahead and meet Paul. He lives up in the Philadelphia area, works at Temple University. My father-in-law used to work up in that area, used to live up in that area. And I drove up here from southern Delaware, which it was like a 3-hour drive, but it was totally, totally worth it. Got to meet Paul. He gave me a tour of his campus. Went out. We had a beer. Had some dinner, and then we came back to his office, and we talked after he gave me a nice little tour of their really cool computer lab. Which you know, if you ever have a chance, go there. Go see Temple. It was a beautiful campus. I was only there for a little while, but it was a very nice campus. I loved it. All right. So, go ahead and check this out. All right, everybody. It's show 500. I'm not exactly sure. This is going to be, let's see, check the old watch. It's the 20th right now. So, this will go out on the 21st. And, wow, you know what? That is actually the three-year anniversary of starting the Totally Cool Tech podcast.
That's fantastic.
October 21st, 2007. And back then we were talking, if you didn't know, didn't recognize that voice, Paul Muller from the Caffeination. I am in Philly. I'm in Paul's office. This has been a great little adventure. Paul's showing me around his campus here, and I'm glad to be here, glad to see what's going around, Paul. It's been a long time coming. We've been online friends for a while here. And
it's kind of funny meeting people that you've been talking to for like 3-4 years, and all of a sudden you see them in the flesh for the first point, and you're like, wow, okay, they are a real person. I haven't just been imagining the past couple years.
Exactly. And the funny thing is, my wife, I didn't get a chance to get a hold of Mike Smith.
But I have met Mike. He is real. So just
and,
no,
and I have. I've met Mike twice. He's been. Okay. He was out to the Sacramento area. He used to work for a propane products company, and and they're in Sacramento. And so he had to come out there and do some server switching and things like that and upgrades. So I got to meet him twice, which was really great. And it would have been great to meet him here. Just I'm out here on vacation. If you've been listening to the podcast, you've heard me talking to him. I'm down in Delaware, which, God, I don't know, it's probably about, it was a little around 3 hours.
Yeah, probably like 2.5-3 hours good traffic, and it's never good traffic anywhere near Philadelphia.
No, I mean, I had great traffic all the way up to that bridge. I was moving and got on this 76 West, and there's construction, so it took me a good 20 minutes just to get through that one intersection, and everything else was fine.
You know, I gotta say, ever since I was a kid, I can't remember a time when we didn't have construction on any of the major byways. So, you're pretty much experiencing life as we know it.
Exactly. I've seen the roads, and it's like, you know, just like anywhere else. Especially, I've gone to L.A. many a times, going down to San Diego or, you know, Disneyland, whatever. You got to go through Central L.A. and it's bad. You know, the freeways were not really completely well thought out back then.
Right.
And especially for the growth that they were going to have. They're decent, but you know, they're in need of repair, so they're constantly going to be working on them.
About the only city on the East Coast that I know of that has really good freeway setup is D.C. It's the Ring Road makes everything so much easier to either go around it, go through it, and the public transportation there, it's like any one of the number of stops on the Ring Road, you stop, you get off, you get on public transportation, you don't have to see your car again till the end of the day. Not so much here.
Well, that's good, because that's where I'm going tomorrow. I'm going to be doing some more driving, about another good 2.5 hours or so from southern Delaware, which is the lower and slower Delaware.
Lower, slower.
As I found out. It's more of a state of mind and mental state, actually, of some people down there. But, you know, you can find that anywhere. But, yeah, going to the Smithsonian tomorrow.
Fantastic.
Kids are going to love it. They want to see the wrecks from the Night at Museum.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what they're there for. I'm there for the Air and Space Museum. He's dropped my dad and my father-in-law and myself off there. Pick us up at the end of the day. We'll be good.
A little adventure to Kitty Hawk.
Exactly. Now, we are here in Paul's office, which is just... not cluttered. It's
crufty.
Crufty, yes. It's very crufty. I gotta love it. I mean, there's just computers everywhere, monitors, tons of gear, geek stuff.
If I set everything to white, I'm pretty sure I could tan.
Exactly. So we went through your tech center or your... What was that building actually?
It's called the Tech Center. It's actually in the old Bell Atlantic building. That building used to house all of the switches for the East Coast from Belltel.
Okay.
And we repurposed the building. We bought it from Bell. It was originally a completely server. It was done with, like, Liebert air handlers.
Mm-hmm.
Like, everything that we walked on is actually a return air plenum. There's, like, 2 feet before you actually hit the real floor.
Exactly, all raised flooring.
Raised floor, and they didn't even have heating in the building because the computers would have heated it.
You would never need any kind of heat. Exactly. The switch gear itself puts off so much heat, and you got to highly cool that, which that actually kind of makes for a great building for what you guys have turned it into.
It's the biggest computer lab in North America. There's 600 workstations in there. There is just pretty much anything that you could imagine to do on a college campus, they have it in there. From, like, the complete green screen studio that we walked by.
Which I'm completely jealous of about. It was awesome. I need to grab that thing on the way out. I'll shove that in my backpack.
Other cool features, they have breakout rooms that are all over that students can sign up, and they all have, like, smart technology in it. They have, like, projectors, whiteboards, anything else you can imagine to host their own, like, meetings. And any student can sign them out to study in or do whatever.
That is awesome. Yeah. Now, can anybody in there contact and collaborate with anyone else within the building and maybe even outside the building?
Yes. A lot of the different telecommunications technologies are perfectly, they work perfectly well. The only thing that we've had an issue with is IRC, actually.
Okay, really?
Blocked. Yeah, it's blocked. I guess it's a attack vector is the easiest way to say.
Yes, definitely.
So, like, for instance, Ustream works great on campus, but the problem is you can't use the IRC channels attached to it. You have to use the social stream with it.
Oh, okay.
But we have some pretty interesting stuff all over, so.
So, yeah, with social media being the easier way to go through, your campus allows that to go in and out.
Oh, yeah, Twitter's fine. Everything's pretty much fine. Skype works beautifully. There's a lot of interesting stuff that gets done on campus. So.
That's pretty cool. Now, the show used to be sponsored by GoToMeeting, GoToAssist, all that. My company uses GoToMeeting a lot, and we have found that to be really helpful in getting, for us subcontractors who are just either too far away or our subcontractors even subcontract out some of their drafting services to a company that might be, we've had some in Chicago, we've had some in San Diego, and we're working out of a small trailer in Lodi, California, and GoToMeeting has really helped everybody because I can go through my Navisworks 3D. Everybody can see it online.
Yeah.
What are you guys using, or if anything like that?
Well, there are certain areas on campus where we do use GoToMeeting. We, however, have a slightly different system in place. It's called Adobe Breeze. This is not like a publicly available kind of deal.
Mm-hmm.
We actually had to buy a server and a server license to host it, so it's not something you'd be able to do for a regular-sized company. It's beautiful. Like, when you log on, like, literally, we've had job interviews with professors, and the professors in Prague, we've had people all over, and, like, video conferencing, like one-to-one video conferencing where they have their face on the screen. We have a room full of people who are critiquing their work. They do the presentation. Everything gets recorded and dropped into an FLV so we can view it later on.
Nice.
And we have chat, polls, pretty much anything you want to do, including taking control of the desktop on the other person's side.
Wow, so it's like GoToMeeting and Skype on steroids.
Yeah, it's a really interesting solution. The only problem you ever see is that sometimes the server load when there's a lot of different classes using it. But I'm not one of the admins on it, but I have had admin permissions at different times. And it's beautiful to just be able to get in there, you create your meeting. We've done it for PodCamp a couple times. It's like where you just get in there, you get all the stuff going, and people can just wander in from other sessions. I think you actually watched my session last year.
I did.
From there.
Yeah, I was one of the local podcasters here. God, I want to say the gentleman does Mind of Root.
So Keith Albright.
Yes, Keith. He actually put his webcam on, and I could actually watch you give your presentation, which was actually pretty cool. I couldn't text into him to have him ask a question quick enough, but it was really, really cool. I was hoping to have that this year, but I missed out.
We couldn't get everything up and running. We were trying to make sure we had the Wi-Fi and everything else, and it went beautifully.
How did that go for you guys?
PodCamp?
Yeah, how did PodCamp
went
really
beautifully.
Go?
It was, we had a slightly smaller turnout in years past, which is perfectly fine. We were really kind of close to a couple other events that happened, like PodCamp Boston was the week before. And you kind of realize the conference season towards the fall has been getting a little crowded, so we're thinking of moving it to a different time during the year. which I know my wife would love.
Oh, definitely. I'm sure.
And but like, yeah, you know, it just went really well. There was a lot of good energy going around, and I really think that you can't beat meeting people face to face. I mean, obviously seeing you in the same room, it's like you can't beat meeting people face to face and being able to share knowledge and share that same crazy passion for something like podcasting.
Oh, definitely.
It's like your wife will look at you like you have three heads and say, "What are you doing tonight?" It's like,
"Yeah,
I'm spending a night with a microphone. It's going to be all right."
Exactly. I mean, she looked at me today and she's like, "Now you're really going to go drive 3 hours, go have some dinner, do some podcasting, and drive 3 hours back?" But yeah. She's just, "Sure. I'm worried about you." "Don't worry about it. You know, I got GPS.
Do you need coffee? We have it."
"Oh, we got, okay." I wouldn't expect anything less. We've got, you know, I've got my cell phone, I've got the texting, and this is, I believe Pennsylvania has either got a texting law or they've got one coming out in January.
I think we have a texting law. We do have a law that I didn't get a chance to tell you about. You can't be on your cell phone talking while you're driving in Philadelphia.
What about hands-free?
Hands-free is fine.
And that's what I have. I do have a Bluetooth. So, and one other thing I have, which it probably does break the law technically, is I have Valingo for my BlackBerry, where I press a button on it. I don't even have to look at the phone. I can just press a button and tell it I want to do a text to so-and-so, and it'll translate. Because I do have to hold the phone. And technically, I'm touching a button, but I could be holding a coffee cup.
Yeah.
At that point, what's the difference?
Right.
I'm not talking into it. I'm not looking at it. I don't have to look at it. Tell it, you know, text message so-and-so, and it'll send it off, and it'll read back to me what I've said so I can know that it translated correctly, and then it'll actually send it out.
That's pretty cool.
And it also has, because I got the paid one, a feature where it'll read me incoming texts, emails, all that kind of stuff. So there were several ones that, yeah, you sent me, my wife sent me, and emails that were coming in.
I was wondering how you were doing it. I mean, I know when you were sending me an email, it said Valingo at the bottom, and I was like, okay, I guess that's what he's doing. But the texts don't have any kind of information on them that's how they're coming in, so.
It would have, but I can also go into, with the paid version, I can go into whichever my email client or my texting client, and I can just hit the button, and it will take whatever I say and paste it into that particular app, and I can send it out. So it's really, really convenient, and I love it.
There used to be a service, I can't remember, I think it was Jot, J-O-T.
Sounds familiar, yes.
It's like you used to be able to dial a number and tell it whatever you wanted to do.
Yes.
And it butchered translations, because there was no read-back feature.
Yeah. and the reason I actually got this is I wanted to be able to be on the road and get a text and not have to read it, because I'm the kind of person that if I got a text and it's from, especially, you know, my wife, I need to be able to look at it, read it.
Well, you want to make sure what it says.
And this will just read it to me. I don't have to take my eyes off the road. And for $20, I buy it once, and there's no service fee or anything like that.
That's pretty good.
It works. Yeah, it's pretty good. And I bought it for both my BlackBerries, because I got one for work, one for home. So, which is sad. Now, I have at home, I have Fios, which actually is one of the first Fios in the country now. Everybody's
we don't
got.
Have Fios here.
We don't have Fios.
There's a big building right downtown. You can see it's the tallest one. That's the Comcast Tower.
Yes.
That is why we don't have Fios in Philadelphia yet.
My father-in-law in nowhere, Delaware, has Fios. I can't believe it. That is pretty sad. I mean, he is near Rehoboth Beach. It's Millsboro. Tiny little town. And he had Fios, and I was actually kind of impressed about that. And I can't believe that. I guess Comcast owns this town. Is it just that they haven't been able to get the infrastructure in?
It's a little bit of lobbying, a little bit of politics on either side. I don't really know all of it. All I know is that every couple months I go in there and request Fios for my address to see if it's there. I'm on like 15 different waiting lists with 4 different addresses. And it's like just trying to see. I just want to be able to compare prices, honestly.
Oh, definitely.
I mean, we're in like the bundled Comcast pack, as mm-hmm. it is, because we exist in an area that has really bad cell phone reception. So we're both with Verizon for cell phone. So you get, I think there's a bundled service for that. It's like one bill kind of thing.
Yeah.
So
my
knows?
My parents-in-law, they have, actually they don't have the wireless, you know, their cell phone.
Yeah.
They're with Sprint, And I said, you know, why aren't you with them? Because you got everything else. Maybe if you bundle it in, you can afford the Phillies package and all that, Phillies and Eagles package. Because my father-in-law is a hardcore Phillies fan and a hardcore Eagles fan.
And the only reason I would not be able to switch to Fios is they do not carry the Flyers. And I'm a diehard Flyers fan.
Yeah, I was telling him that, you know, Paul is an all-out fan for all of it, especially the Flyers. And I'm like, the only thing that I don't think you're into too much or he is into are the 76ers. But
I'll watch them if they're in the playoffs. You know,
yeah.
But it's nothing, like, I've been to a couple games. It's really fun. But I've never really been a big fan of basketball, professional level.
I actually like going to the basketball game than watching it on TV.
Yeah.
And it's just so much better. And even to me, the cheap seats are some of the better seats.
Yeah.
I'm up high. I can see down, watch everything go down. It's really great. At home, I have, like I said, I had the Fios. I have the on-demand DVR, which I have. It's like UVerse, but it's through our local Fios called Sure West. They're going to make it now to where any of the satellite boxes can fast forward, pause, rewind,
all
that, where right now they can't. Can only do it on the DVR one. So they'll upgrade that, which I'm finally happy about, because they used to have replay TVs, and I could record on all of them, share within the house, and even send those programs out to any other replay TV owner anywhere in the world. Only problem is it wasn't HD, but now everything we have is HD. I have Roku boxes. I have two Xboxes, which we get Netflix on. I got the iPad, which the kids get Netflix on. The wife gets Netflix on. What do you have? What is Paul playing with these days, or what's on your I want list?
Well, my I want list is I'd like to have a Roku or something like that. We don't have a DVR in the house right now because I don't watch very much TV in general. Anything I want is usually on Hulu or something else like that afterwards. I have three computers, one server, a laptop, and an Xbox 360, the Wii, and the house is pretty much networked. So it's like we have there's two different laptops and the two different computers. One of those computers is a media center, Linux box that's a media center.
Okay.
So it has Boxy installed on it. Mm-hmm. I actually have everything piped through the server that's in the garage so that I can access it from anywhere. So as long as, like, I can do remote desktop from work and pull up my PC at home directly.
Excellent.
Or I can do VNC and pull up my server.
Mm-hmm.
And then from there, I can talk to the Boxy box and make sure that one's updated and everything's working.
There you go.
And it's really cool because a lot of the stuff that I do at Temple with WordPress and other things like that, in the initial processes of setting them up, like, there's certain settings that you're not sure. It's like, okay, is this exactly the right way that I have it? And I know that this works at home. So now all I have to do is pull up the screen at home, and you can pull up the different little dialogues and say, oh, yeah, this is actually it. Or, no, I need to change some permissions. So it's really cool. It's like I have a test bed at home.
Oh, that is awesome. I've done the remote in from outside. I've done it off of my iPod using VNC. And it's worked out real well. I've got my main workstation, a home-built box running Windows 64 or Windows 7 64-bit. I have an old Windows XP box, about 8 years old. That's my P drive. It has all the photos. My wife wanted something easy. Here's on your laptop. Just, you know, log into the P drive, dump all your photos there. Everything's safe there. Back it up to my Pogo plug. And just recently, I got the Windows Home server that I won in a contest, which was pretty cool. And so I'm going to back everything up to that as well. So all the PCs get backed up.
Everything in our house gets backed up to the Linux server. It's actually really cool. One of the programs that I've reviewed for the podcast, they sent me a free license of GoodSync. And it works real well with the Linux file servers. So we have the portable drive that all the pictures are on. It also syncs to the computer, and then at the same point in time, it syncs off to the Linux server. So there's three places where all the photos and all the music are at any given point in time.
Yeah, kind of the same way there with the home server. The only thing I haven't done, and you know, this is really bad because I tout it, is off-site storage.
Yeah.
You know, it's like I've looked into a couple things. I was actually planning on doing that before I came out here, just in case, because I'm not at home, can't watch anything.
You could do the cheap and easy off-site storage, buy a big drive and ship it to your father-in-law.
Well, yeah, I could actually do it to my mother-in-law lives in town, which is good, and I could take hers and we could swap. Well, she's got a small, you know, it's a small Dell, not much done on it, but she's got photos too, swap them. But there was one off-site storage that you could do multiple computers, and I thought of maybe somehow getting hers onto my system somehow and backing it all up and get it off-site. But there's also, with that service, and I forget who it was, you could use two different locations to swap with each other, and that is your off-site. You don't have to use their system.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
And you swap off-site, so they've got yours, you got theirs. Just go out, buy a 500 gig or 1 terabyte drive, put it in a USB case, and you're golden. It's a perfect little thing, especially for her, and I can even do it with my mother.
Depending on how many photos you could use, you just give her a Dropbox account. It's two gigs.
Yeah, she doesn't take that many. My wife and I take thousands.
I think right now we have about 32 gigs of photos.
I'm right about there, if not maybe a little bit more, because I went in and I used to have the old CDs that Kodak. I would have, you know,
have a bin full.
They were the Advantix system, and I had always had CDs made just in case. And I finally decided to pull those out, and I got all the folders, you know, every year, and then I break down the months and I put them in there. And now that just kind of kicked it off from about 15 meg to about 30 meg. I'm like, oh my gosh, you know, we're gonna be just tons and tons of stuff. So. Yeah, I'm looking to get, I got 2 terabytes in the Windows Home server. I'm looking to buy another 2 terabyte drive, which will max it out as far as internal. And then I can go with another 1 or 2 terabytes external.
You can get a NAS.
It almost is that way.
But I meant, like, you can get a NAS and plug it in as part of the home network server.
Mm-hmm.
And without you even seeing the NAS, and just sit behind the home server and back. And just add to the capacity.
The Polo plug is almost like that.
Okay.
It's pretty cool, and I can remote into it and share stuff out. I can give people permissions to certain locations and so forth, and they can't get into other parts of it. I've got the first generation of Polo plug, which I actually had a fight with Polo plug not too long ago. They were going to give you a Wi-Fi stick, USB stick, that would go in there, and they were going to give it to you to owners of it. At a reduced cost, and the new people would get it for a little bit higher. And they said, it's free for us. I'm like, oh, that's cool. Oh, but it's going to cost you like $11 to ship this little USB key. I'm like, you're kidding me.
Put it in a thing. I'll give you enough for a stamp.
Exactly. And so I kind of asked, is there any way to get this shipped differently? They said no. So, look, we're giving it to you. I understand that. But we kind of had a little argument. They said they were going to ship it to me. I've never seen it. But Pogo Plug is still a good product. So.
Yeah.
We've got the Wii. We've got 2 Xbox 360s. Boys love it. I had to buy 2 because the boys were starting to argue and actually pound each other as to who gets to play what.
How many accounts do you have?
We have 2 gold accounts for Live. And I got the kids each their own Live account.
Okay.
Which
I kind of wish there was a different way to manage the Live accounts, like for like a family,
mm-hmm.
to where you could break off other adults or stuff like that. I know that they were doing something, just because like I know, whenever anybody wants to go online in my house, they have to use my account.
Yeah, they have to use one account, and then you can jump in as a guest.
Right.
And it's like, can't somebody just come in and log on?
Yeah.
I don't know why it doesn't ask for.
Well,
that.
I mean, my brother-in-law comes over and he has a gold account and he has to recover his account every single time, and it takes forever and a day. But now that they've enabled the USB storage, you can actually store the accounts on your USB stick, and I think you need minimum 2 gig stick, so it's like nothing.
Yeah. Oh, she can give those. Matter of fact, we're giving away a 4 gigabyte USB stick. This is the contest. Don't forget about the contest. I'll go over the rules a little later tonight on the podcast. So stay tuned, watch for that. It'll be in there somewhere. Don't worry about it. We'll get you covered. Send that in. Who am I talking to is one of the questions. So, and what is the number on the podcast? And if you know what the special, extra special question is, if you know what that stands for, what is the little hidden meaning behind that one? If you get it, I got a little something extra for you. So that's actually a pretty cool.
Special meaning on what?
The 43.
I was just making sure.
No.
You were saying special number on the podcast. So I wasn't sure if you were talking about the 500.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, no, yeah. On the logo itself. Yeah, which on the logo. If you're actually paying attention, you heard an answer. you're really paying attention, everything's on this podcast.
Eventually.
But, yeah, eventually, except for maybe the background meaning of that one. It kind of worked out funny that I was talking with Paul about it a little over a year ago, and I need a new logo, I need something a little different, and he came up with some really cool stuff for me. And when we started looking at the logo, he gave me a number, and we thought, oh, yeah, that's pretty cool. I understood right off where it was coming from. And then as I did a little more research, I said, hey, what about this number? And look at that. And it was like, hey, that just kind of fit.
Yep.
Fit with everything. So we're like, yeah, we'll go with that one. And it worked out real well. I love that logo. And
I'm glad you like it.
Oh, it's beautiful. It's what I like. It's simple, clean, and it does what it's supposed to do. It's what I needed. And if you've seen the logo, you know what it is. I gave Paul a shirt. I got T-shirts made for myself about 3 months ago. Had it done and made another one up for Paul. Oh, he's showing me right now his
new, you don't have to say what it is, but
his new logo.
We're working on some concepts.
He's working on. Looks really, really cool. I like that. That is going to work. That is definitely going to work. That's awesome. I like that. That's really cool. All right, so we're going to go ahead and conclude this.
It's been fantastic talking to you, Norbert.
Oh, I love it. It's been nice coming out here and actually definitely getting to meet you face-to-face. I mean, you know, I get on the Ustream and catch Paul whenever I can. Unfortunately, it's, you know, the way work's been going, I've been so stressed out lately that the wife was like, you got to make time for us. And so I've been doing that.
That's why I cut back to once a week on my show.
Yeah, and podcasting, we love it. It is a labor of love. And this is the way I like to spend my time. I geek out with this stuff. Talk to guys like Paul and have a great time. But, you know, family comes first, and sometimes I push them off a little bit. And taking care of that right now, I'm on a great vacation. I am so darn relaxed right now. It's not even funny. Go back to work, they're not even going to recognize me, I think. Which is a good thing.
Very, very good thing.
I can hide out a little bit easier, so.
Should have grown a really wicked beard, like a giant one.
like the guy from
the Giants.
The Giants. Oh, that guy's scary. Rasputin. Now I can't do that. Apparently, some sort of Indian blood in the family, and it's hard to grow any kind of facial hair. My dad, my grandfather.
This is since the 28th.
Wow. Geez, yeah. Yeah. You blink and you grow it. So.
Yeah. So I turn around and I'm a Wookiee. So.
All right, Paul. It's great talking to you. We will see you folks later for show 501. It might be a little while because it's not going to come out Sunday, so you're going to miss that. So probably next Wednesday, maybe. I don't know. I'll be recovering and going back to work Wednesday that day, so probably won't happen. I'll be trying to recover on Tuesday. So Sunday the 29th,
30th? Sunday is the 31st.
Sunday's the 31st, so yeah, okay. It'll be a Halloween tech podcast. All right, everybody, that's it. We will see you next time. Well, all right, that's going to be it for this episode. Thank you so much for listening to the Totally Cool Tech Podcast, no matter if it's on Stitcher Radio, Roku, Boxy, iTunes, through the Podcatcher, or website player, doesn't matter. If somebody gave this to you on a CD, I don't care. Thank you for listening. And if you like it, hey, go ahead and tell a friend, would you? I'd really, really appreciate it. Okay. I'm going to CES 2011, so I have my little CES 2011 or bust donation button on the webpage. If you want to help, go ahead, donate. You choose what you want to donate. I'm asking for your help so I can get to CES, make it a little bit more easier for me.
Plus, I will wear a t-shirt or something of whatever, hat, shirt, sweatshirt, whatever, but I'll put all my sponsors' names on it. And if you're a corporation or a company and you want to donate and sponsor me, let me know. I'll definitely get your logo out there and give you a great shout-out. Now, all of the show notes and links for today's episode are at totallycooltech.com or tctpodcast.com. Please send me an email or audio comment to tctpodcast@gmail.com and let me know what cool tech you think we should have on the show. What should we be talking about? Are you using something cool that I should know about, you want to tell everybody else about, or you want me to go ahead and look up something for you, help you out? Doesn't matter. Get a hold of me, okay? You can go ahead and call me at the Totally Cool Tech Podcast listener line at area code 540-999-TECH. You can now follow me over on Twitter. Check it out. We got TCT Podcast. That's the handle. Go ahead and check us out. All right, everybody, that's it. I will see you next time.